Another wonderful day, and let's be start with studying the Word of God. Let's start with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this wonderful Saturday, for making us available, Lord God, even in the whole week of working. We thank you, God, for just calling us in this time and hour. So just learn, hear, and meditate your word. Thank you, Father God, for just helping us to prepare us, body, soul, and spirit, to receive your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our great teacher as you teach us and unveil the truth of your word. Thank you, God, for just helping us to receive, O Lord God, in our heart, in our life, truth of your word. Bless you, we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today, by the way, I'm Ernie, and I'm sharing to you the devotion today. We'll be reading in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, and let's start reading on verse 10 to 14. You can read along with me. I open your Bible, and I will be reading in the NIV version. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Now that I have already obtained all this, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, and straining toward what is ahead, I press on the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. Bless the reading of the Word of God. Now, the book of Philippians is written by Apostle Paul to the Christian believers in Philippi. Philippi, a prosperous Roman colony. Paul writes, encourage Christians at the Philippi to live joyfully in every circumstances. Now, the book of Philippians is one of the most joyous book in the Bible that is written from a person that is in the jail, chained probably with the Roman guard in somewhere in Rome. Scholar says, wrote that Philippians in Rome just about the time, this is written by Paul just about the time when the great Christian persecution is started. Nero began feeding Christians to the ravenous lions and burning them as a torches to illuminate his banquets. This is an environment that how could joy possibly thrive if this is things happening, right, in the Christian life. But Paul points Jesus' death to show that God can take even darkest moments in history and turn it into good. The cross and Jesus' triumph over death prove that nothing is powerful enough to stamp out a reason for joy in the Lord, as Paul says. Amen. The cross and Jesus' triumph over death prove nothing is powerful enough to stamp out a reason for joy in the Lord. Now, this chapter's details, as we read even in the front of chapter 3 of Philippians, detail the impressive Jewish resume of Paul. None of these critics challengers could boast the pedigree carried by Paul. But he mentioned and he emphasized in verse 7 of chapter 3 of Philippians, he said that whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And even in verse 8, he continued, Indeed, I count nothing, he said, as loss, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, he mentioned who Paul is in verse 5, 6 of chapter 3. He mentioned this only to emphasize how little such things mean next to faith in Christ. All this, you know, his accomplishment, his pedigree, his resume, no, is just so little compared. It's not worth nothing compared of knowing and have faith in Christ. Paul's language here is sharp to the point. He didn't explain how Christian focus ought to be purely on Christ, just as a runner concentrate on their goal in order to run effectively. Rather than looking to the past or to ourselves, we ought to look forward to an eternity with the Lord. Now, who is Apostle Paul? Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 23 describes himself that he is a Pharisee and he is a well-educated man. In chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 4 and 6, he is a Hebrews of a Hebrews. In chapter 7 and 8, he is also a number one Christian persecutors. He even approved the stoning of Stephen unto death. Even we can read in chapter Acts 9, Paul also is hunting the Christian, capturing them and bringing to Rome until the Lord Jesus encountered him in the road to Damascus and eventually called him to be the apostle to the Gentile. Now, Paul's goal is perfection, but he has not reached out yet. He mentioned it in chapter and verse 10 and 11 of chapter 3, which read, he is not faultless, nor does he expect to achieve perfection before his death. Instead, he uses the analogy of a runner in a race to depict the motivation of his spiritual life. Like a dedicated runner, he has a single goal, just as a runner cannot successful unless they concentrate on the race. Neither can Paul be successful growing in Christ if he allows other goals to interfere. Paul is teaching us in focusing in our running. Paul uses this analogy of running in our Christian life, in his Christian life. Now, continuing the running analogy, we will try to look quickly on this important aspect of being an athlete and a runner and try to compare it in and apply it in our Christian walk. Now, first, a runner or an athlete must have an observed and strict discipline. Now, one of the discipline the runner or an athlete should following the rules of the competition. He cannot just dictate himself and do what he want during the competition. He need to follow what is the rules and regulation, or else he will be going to disqualified. At the same time, us as every Christian, you know, we have been designated a path that the Lord had given to us. Now, before that, I remember during the time in the Philippines, or even sometimes in here in Hong Kong, when I'm sharing my faith, that the most of the question I heard is that, oh, all paths are the same. We are all, you know, at the end, we see and see each other. They said that all paths are the same. No, whatever they are walking right now, the path that they are walking right now or running right now, but still we're going to see each other at the end. And we know that that is a lie. And we know that that is not the right, you know, the truth of the Word of God that is being telling us. That this is not the right, the truth of the Word of God that telling us. Because it is, excuse me, it is written in John chapter 14, 6 that Jesus said that I am the way, He is the only way, and I am the truth, the Lord Jesus said, and the life, that no one comes to the Father but through me. He said, I am the way, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those people that answering that all paths are the same is the answer of the person that doesn't know the truth at all. That doesn't know that the path that they are walking and running are not leading in the same place. Because if the Lord Jesus is not, you know, in their life, they eventually not, they are running and walking in the path that will lead into destructions. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 said, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God in are setting us every path and race to every Christian. We have our own path that God set us to run. God will give us the right path when we trust Him and will not lean in our own understanding, and God will going to make our path straight. This path that God set us, He is also the one who's making it straight when we trust in Him, when we are not leaning in our own understanding and in all our ways acknowledge Him. That is in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And also in Galatians 5, 7, Apostle Paul encourages the church in Galatians. He said, you run well. He encouraged them that they are running well. But he said, who hindered you from obeying the truth? Now, if we are running, even in athletes or in competition, and we are not abiding in the rules, that we may disqualified and derail, and even, you know, affecting the people running in their own path. For example, in track and field, you have your own path to run, designated path to run, and if you try to, you know, to get another's path, sometimes, you know, it will affect the one that's running beside you, and even you might be disqualified because you are running, you know, you are disobeying the rules of the competition. And likewise, in our Christian life, if we are obeying the Word of God, continue obeying the Word of God, Apostle Paul said that we are running well. But if we are disobeying the Word of God, and that's type affecting our walking in Christian life, our walking in the kingdom of God. That is why we cannot say that we run in our own track. We should run and we should obey the Word of God according to the Word of God and not according the way we understand the Word of God. And that makes us continue running well in our Christian walk. The second discipline is, the first one is following the rule. And the second discipline is the athlete should train and practice. You cannot go join into a competition without practicing and without training. Eventually, you know, you cannot win and you cannot even run properly and you cannot compete properly without train and practice. We need to, even in our Christian life, we need to build up our muscle, our spiritual muscle, to continue running the path and the track that is given to us. In Luke 11, verse 28 said, but he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. One of building up our muscle, our spiritual muscle, is not only by listening the word of God, but doing the word of God. He said that hear the word of God and keep it. In John 3:21 said, but he who does the truth, even John said that those who does the truth, those who keep it, those who obeying it, those who living the truth, comes to life. People would see it, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in good. Again, Apostle John said that not only by hearing and receiving, but we should have do and live the word of God. That is one, the training of obeying the word of God and exercising and building up the muscle, our spiritual muscle. That is one of the discipline of the Christian life that we should do to build up our spiritual muscle by living the word of God, by doing the word of God. Now, speaking of spiritual discipline, now you know that we, every Sunday, that we are receiving this wonderful truth of teaching about spiritual discipline and based on the book of Richard Foster. Praise God for all the speaker, you know, that they've been sharing this wonderful teaching every Sunday. There's only one, I would like to also share the definition of the spiritual discipline by Courtney Jacob. She said, spiritual discipline are practices that by design can lead to the life transformation. Their purpose is to aid our spiritual growth, disciplines of Christ, spiritual growth as disciples of Christ, and deepen our relationship with God. They are like training exercise for the spiritual life. But like all exercise, we have to choose to them regularly. We have to choose to them regularly to do them. We have to choose to do them regularly to feel or see their impact on our lives. Actually, the spiritual discipline has been divided into three: inward discipline, outward disciplines, and corporate disciplines. And that is what we have been receiving every Sunday. Inward disciplines, meditation, prayer, and fasting and study. Those are we should, you know, do to exercise and to train ourselves. Meditation, prayer, and fasting and study. Onward, outward discipline, simplicity, solitude, submission, and services. Corporate discipline, confession, worship, guidance, and celebration. If we have to do this day after day, you know, to have to see the impact in our life and to build our spiritual muscle. So first, the one that we have to do in our spiritual running is to observe discipline, to follow the rules, you know, to obey the word of God, and to continue to exercise them, to do the word of the Lord. Second is, to be a good athlete is you need to have a determination. You cannot just join or to a competition and just for the sake that you want to, you know, to join and to be part of competition. No, you need to have a determination. You need to focus and fix your eyes on this competition and event that you are going to join. Now, Apostle Paul chooses to live by an important principle, keeping his attention on the road in front of him, keeping his attention on the road in front of him. A runner cannot look back and still focus on the goal ahead. No, you cannot run and then you are looking at your back. You should look in front of you, focus, you know, in front of the truck or on the road. This prevents distractions and stumbling. Paul's spiritual goal is stated directly here. He said, the price of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The price of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, in running and competition, you have always to fix and focus your eyes on the competition or in front of you in order for you to continue, you know, concentrating in what you are doing. Something second, you know, focus and fix our eyes in Christ Jesus, our the author and the finisher of our faith. We have to focus our eyes on the goal, on the finishing of the competition and winning the prize. You cannot focus on the one that is running beside you. You cannot focus on looking on other people and how the Christian walk, but you have to focus and fix your eyes in Christ Jesus. You know, you have to focus on your own path of running and how will you walk in Christ Jesus in his kingdom. Second is dedication and perseverance. Part of determination is dedication and perseverance. He will not look back to past steps, but focus on improving each step in his race until reaching the goal. But first, let me go back in focusing and fixing our eyes. Apostle Paul said, cannot look back and still focus on the goal. But we know, we know the Apostle Paul is continue of sharing, looking back on the cross. You know, he is sharing the history even of the early church. But what Apostle said is that the Christian can learn from the past. Yes, we can learn from the past, but we are not bound to the things we have done. Instead of being chained by our past mistakes, we can move forward knowing that we carry Christ's forgiveness. We should not focus alone on the past, but we should focus in front. No, in front of us and what God has done for us and God will give us in the future. You know, we often let those things which are behind distract us in running, whether running in our faith or living in our faith, whether they are be good or things or bad things. Looking what is in the past often keeps us from what God has for us in the future. It is sometimes a deception to live either in the past or in the future. Sometimes, you know, church, that even the bad things can derail us if we continue to focus our life in the bad things. And even sometimes in the good things. If we have, you know, wonderful things happen to us in the past and we keep on just focusing in there and we are not, you know, focusing on what is more than God can give to us in the future, sometimes it's also, you know, affect our walk in a Christian life. You know, I remember before I'm still, you know, a early walk in a Christian life, that I always look in a particular thing that this God has happened, given to me in this particular time in this. But God is always, you know, giving us more than, and he can always keep on giving us things that is wonderful, and we should always keep on looking at God will going to give us more than what he has given unto us. We should not, you know, linger on the past, whether it is good or bad, but look on focusing, moving forward, you know, on and be persevere and dedicated on finishing and running and finishing the goal that's set before us. Just like it written in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 and 27 said, therefore I run thus not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. You know, every athlete did not, you know, did not join to be an athlete just to be an athlete, but they have this vision, they have this, you know, dedication and perseverance because they are looking at the goal to win and finish the race. Now, we did not become a Christian just for the sake of to be a Christian, but God are called us because He is, you know, wonderful things that in store for us. Now, third is every athlete did not just, you know, this has a decision to be an athlete. He decided to be an athlete because he wants to compete. He decides to be an athlete not just because he wants to be an athlete, because he wants to win, to finish, and to have that victory of that, you know, sports, whatever sports he's deciding to join. Every Christians also, you know, have a decision to make. We did not decide to be a Christian. We did not decide to receive Christ in our life. We did not have to decide that I decide to follow Christ today and next week I will not decide to follow. No. To be a Christian is to have to focus walking in the kingdom of God. In our spiritual life, is need to be continually focused and fix our eyes. We need to dedicate and persevere. And even sometimes we experience, persecutions and testing, but that will not derail us and keep and running. Even the athlete, they need to beat themselves even to the point of pain in the trainings and exercise and practice in order, you know, in order just to have that decision to win and the goal to finish the race. Same as we as a Christian, when we decide to receive Christ, we need to focus and fix our eyes in Christ. We need to dedicate our life. Yes, there is persecution and testing, and that will build up, will make us strong to keep on running and walking and living in our Christian life. When we decide, you know, it is God, it is the Holy Spirit speak to our heart. He convicted us, not because somebody, not only just because he's sharing the word of God. Yes, praise God. But it is not the work of the one who shared the word of God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that speak to us, convict us, and then we decide in our heart, in our life, to follow Christ and to live in Christ Jesus. And from there on, we have continued to focus and fix our eyes and discipline our spiritual life in walking in the path that God are giving us. First is we need discipline in our Christian walk. Second is we need to have the determination, fix our eyes, and third is destination. You know, every athlete join the competition looking to win the prize, looking to finish the finish line, looking, you know, to receive the victor crown in the competition. In verse 14 that we read, he said that, press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The word press in the original text is a prolonged pursuit. persecute, even making yourself uncomfortable, you're even to suffer, but keep moving forward. It is a prolonged pursuit. It is not an overnight, but pressing on is a prolonged pursue and keep moving forward. Romans 8:18 said, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory which shall be revealed on us." Apostle Paul is telling us, yes, we can experience in our Christian walk this pain and suffering and testing, but if this will not, you know, compare, are not worthy comparing to the, you know, the glory that will reveal to us. Something that, you know, in running the race, yes, you can feel, you know, testings and trials, but this will not worth comparing the prize and the goal of winning when we reach the goal. Runner's goal is to focus on the next step toward of his goal, even the pain is still focusing on the goal of finishing, winning the prize. What is the prize? The prize is to be like Christ. To be like Christ is to value what Christ values and to do what he does. You know, winning the prize is being with Christ, that we may gain Christ, be found in him, that we may know him, that we may attain the resurrection of the dead. Just like what Apostle said. It is what Apostle is looking, is the destination that he is focusing, winning the prize to be like Christ and being with Christ. Paul also chooses to live by an important principle, keeping his attention on the road and in front of him. Don't let our problems and our weaknesses or anything that stop us pressing on. Let's continue to move in moving forward. Apostle Paul is explaining what is the proper attitude of every Christian ought to have on the process of sanctification. Sanctification is the process of becoming more like Christ by purifying our hearts and minds through repentance, prayer, and spiritual discipline and practices. This is the gradual, lifelong path of becoming more of like Jesus. As we continue to walk in Christ Jesus, we are on the process of sanctification. This is not an overnight. This is done through prayer, through repentance, and spiritual discipline and practices. But we cannot do it in our own. Now, Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through him, through Christ that strengthens me. Only through him, through Christ, that we will continue to run, that we can have this discipline, that we can have this determination, and we can continue to look on finishing the destination and the goal of winning the prize. And I will encourage us all today, church, as even as we come into our time of worship, that said that, you know, we continue to run and fix our eyes looking in finishing the run that we have and winning the prize of being more like Christ and being with Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. And let's worship as Sterling lead us in worship.
Nothing to me, all I Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. Savior. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I live to thee on high. Lord, I live to thee on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you gave my life.
To the time of prayer. Let's continue to pray for our community, those who are suffering cancer. Let's lift them up in the Lord. God is the one who continue giving miracles. Whatever the stage of the cancer they have, God is able. And God is powerful to bring healing and miracles. Let us pray. Also continue to lift up those who are having illness and needed the word of salvation. Let's lift up that, you know, that God will bring people, teachers, evangelists, that we share the goodness of God as word of truth of the word of God for them. Pray that, you know, truth of the word of God will bring healing and salvation into their life, that they will just soften their heart and receive Jesus in their life. Let us pray. Let's also lift up those who are suffering infirmities. I pray for, you know, the God that lay hands upon them and just declare that by His stripes you were healed. Even, you know, touch the part of your body if you're listening right now. Just, you know, by faith, just receive the healing from the Lord. And yeah, the miracle from God. Let's pray. Also continue to pray those who are, you know, praise God that we are already cleared and we are healed with that COVID. So probably you could just update that list later on, and we continue to lift up the other person that is infected by COVID and pray for the healing and pray for, you know, continue the faith to arise in their heart. And pray also for continuous covering protection for those who are in frontline and medical workers. Pray for the blood of Jesus covering them and even their families. Let's pray. Also continue to pray for those who are looking for jobs. Pray for God to, you know, pour out His provision and give the right opening up the door for them. And just let the faith continue to arise in their heart and even their patience. And yeah, pray for the perfect timing of the Lord to open for the work for them. Let's pray. Let's also continue to pray for our mission focus today. Pray for Cambodia and for Oasis House and PGNO. Pray for the North Korea, open doors for ministry, missional opportunities, partnership in Asia, and persecuted churches in the Middle East. Let's continue to pray and lift them up. You know, let the mighty hands of God continue to work in their ministries, in the mission focus. Let's pray. Strength and joy upon them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let us also pray for our weekend gatherings. Pray for Sunday service, the well, SP Kids Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth Spin and Spill Services, and activities, classes, and outreaches in all meetings. Let us pray. Also lift up those pregnant mom in our community. Pray for Dayan and Haina and others. And pray for the covering and protection of the baby and good health of the mom and the baby. Pray for the joy and of the parents. And pray for provision as well. Let's pray. Let us pray. Thank you, Father God, for today. Thank you for hearing our prayers, receiving our prayers. Thank you, Father God, for the answered prayers, God, that you are going to give, O Lord God, to glorify your name and honor your name. Thank you, Father God, for the words, O God, that you have shared to us. Let us pray, Father God, that your truth of your word, that we continue, Lord God, to bear fruit in our life. As we continue to run and live, O God, in your kingdom, we pray, Father God, that we may have this one, that we may continue to have this discipline in our spirit, Lord God, that we may continue to, Lord God, to have, O Lord, this determination, Lord God, to focus and fix our eyes on you, O Lord God, in every circumstances in our life, and to continue to look, O Lord God, and the destination, Lord God, to be like Christ and to be in with Christ. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for blessing your word, Lord God. And bless each one today, Lord God. We honor you and we glorify you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining and God bless us all. And we see you again next week in event and Sunday service tomorrow. God bless.